especially for a Wednesday night. Wednesday night is a time when, well, God's people especially like to meet. It is a time of repose in the middle of the week after you've been working, to go in the strength of this, and it should be a time of where the Word will give comfort. And the Psalms are always a comfort to God's people. As I've told you so many times, and you know from experience, that you can always go to the Psalms when you need some comfort, when you need some help. And this is one of my absolute favorite Psalms. It really is. I know we say that about all of them, but this truly is one of my favorite. This is the heartfelt expression of David. We believe David wrote it, not sure, but it sounds like him. If you're familiar with David's writing, it sounds like David. But this is the heartfelt expression of David for the house of God. It's how he feels about God's house, God's people. And every man or woman after God's own heart says these same things. These same things. He's thinking about God's house. We believe David was either on the run at this time. We certainly know that he's not in and around Jerusalem or wherever God's house was at the time. But he's missing it. He's missing being there. And that's why he wrote this. Verse 1, he says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." Amiable. The only time this word is used in Scripture. And the word means lovely. Just a lovely place. The word means beloved. That is, those that belong there, they love it. How amiable, how lovely, how well loved are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. That is, tabernacles where God dwells. Say, God dwells not in buildings made with hands. Well, that's true. Yet David says throughout here, talks about God's house, where God dwells. And what David is talking about more than a building is a place where God's people meet, whatever building that may be. Be it a tent or wherever. A dwelling place where God is and where His people are. And can you not say with David that the church, and wherever that is, whether it be here, whether it be in wherever it be, Fairmont, wherever it may be, can you not say it's the loveliest place on earth? Wherever you are at the time, worshiping God with God's people, it's a lovely place to be. I love being here. Don't you? David was not there, and he says, "I long for my soul," verse 2, "my soul longeth." That is, my innermost being, my soul longeth for, from the depth of my being. David's not saying this off the top of his head. He says, "my soul longeth," that is, desires, vehemently desired. "My soul longeth for the courts of the Lord." The courts. And that should be familiar to you. We've been talking about the court of the tabernacle, the place where the people could go and mingle together and watch as the sacrifice was being prepared and so forth. Courts where the common people could go. If they had a sin issue, they could bring a sacrifice and watch as the high priest prepared that sacrifice and then went into that tabernacle to offer up that sacrifice. And that's the courts where God dwells and where the sacrifice is being made. He says, "My soul longeth for this. My soul longeth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out to the living God." My heart. My heart. You know, out of the heart are the issues of life. You know that? That's true religion. It's in the heart. We're not saved by what we know. because we could understand all mysteries, Paul said, and have not love, a true heartfelt love for God, for His people, won't avail us anything. The heart. God looks on the heart. God's not listening to our words. He's looking at the heart. My heart and my flesh, He said. My flesh crieth out for the living God. Out of the abundance of the heart, what speaks? Whatever's really within you comes out. Where does it come out? It's one place that gives vent to what's on the inside. Whatever's on the inside is vented right here. It be hatred, it be vile word, malice, wrath. If it be love, it's praise and thanksgiving. David said, my flesh crieth out. What are you crying for, David? What do you need? It's not a what. David said, I could have everything I could wish for. I have everything I could wish for. I lack nothing. But I need Him. For the living God. My heart and my flesh. Does not this place, does not your very flesh need this place? Is it not only a spiritual oasis for you, but is it not literally a physical place where you can come in and rest your ears from the clamor of the world, the stuff you're hearing out there, all the cursing and bitterness and the blasphemy and all that, your ears get a rest. Your mind gets a rest from all the filth and stuff it sees and beholds throughout. Is this not literally a oasis for your flesh? You can come and sit in that soft pew, huh? And just hear encouraging words. Sing these songs. Weren't those songs a blessing to you? Weren't they music to your ears? I mean, beautiful music, not only to your ears, but to your heart. The flesh of God's people even cries out to be with the living God and His people. Well, David was not there. And how long he was cast out or away from the house of God, we don't know. But he was a man without a place to worship. Unless you've been there, you don't know how miserable that could be. Now let me ask you, and David is going to talk more about this. Let me ask you how you would feel if these doors were closed tonight, never to be opened again. Ask yourself that. Let me ask myself that. Or if something happened to you that you were unable to come and be in this place, how would you feel? Really? And with that in mind, and because it could happen, it very well could happen. No place is immune. No place from being shut down. And no one, you know, we don't know what tomorrow may bring. And as a sister of ours said one time, who was incapacitated to where she could not get back to the house of God, she said, life is not worth living if you can't go worship God. Do you feel that way? And with that in mind, what are you willing to do to keep these doors open? We need to ask ourselves that now. What are we willing to do? What are we willing to sacrifice? Does it take sacrifice? What have we done? What are we doing in the service of this place? What do we do? Because that's what it requires. David's heart and his flesh were in it, weren't they? David built, some of you have asked this question, what tabernacle is he talking about? Well, I found out, and I should have known this by reading very carefully, there were two or three places where David erected tabernacles for the ark. Two or three places. when he brought the ark back to Jerusalem, after it had been taken, he brought it back to Jerusalem and erected a place there, a tent. Another place, what was the name of it? Started with a B, I forget. But he erected a tent there, and there were places, other places. And that's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. And David put his money where his mouth was. David, if he had to do it single-handedly, erected a tent. And you remember in the end there, David wanted to build a house for God's ark, didn't he? You remember? He said, "If I dwell in palaces and God's ark has no place," he said, "I'm going to build." And that's when God rebuked him. He said, "I never did tell you to build me a house." He said, "I'll tell who I will to build a house. Your son's going to build me the house." And that's another story. But David put his money where his mouth was. That wasn't just words today from David. He said, "My heart and my flesh crieth out, and I long to be there, and I would do anything I could to be there. And when I'm restored and go back there, I will, God forbid that I should ever take it for granted again." He says, verse 3, the sparrow, David thinking about God's house, he thinks about the birds up in the rafters. He said, "I'd just like to be a bird in the rafters." He said, "The sparrow had found a house. The swallow had nest for herself. Her home is in the rafters, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." I told you about that, finding that bird's nest out here on the side of the wall in that pyracantham, or in the ivy, I mean. Some of you probably think I ought to cut that ivy down. But I'm not going to. No way. The same bird keeps building her nest there. And I keep telling her, "You found a good place, buddy. The gospel's not preached in those other places. You come here." But David envied the sparrows and the swallows building a nest. He said, a wise mother swallow will lay her nest where her young can be raised, where the gospel is, God's house. Is that why you want this place to continue? For your young can be raised? It's a good place to nest. Even thine altars. David talked about the altar. Oh my. David missed the altar where the sacrifice was continually made. He loved the smell of that lamb cooking. It's a sweet smelling savor to him. Sweet savor. He says, "O Lord of hosts." God is a God of many. David mentions this several times. Lord God of hosts. Three times. God of hosts. We're not the only ones. I would never say that. Though in any one particular time, God's church seems to be few in comparison with all the people in the world. It seems to be few. Yet, he reminded Elijah one time, didn't he? He said, "I've got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. You're not the only one. You think you are. You may be in that county where you live. But I've got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. And God has many more than that. He's the Lord of hosts." And David said, "You're my King and my God." It's not enough to believe that God is just King. It's not enough to believe that God is sovereign. Salvation is to say, "He's my King. He's my God. Say unto my soul," David said, "I am thy salvation. My King and my God." Oh, who was it? Pharaoh? Darius? Who was it that said? It's Pharaoh said, "Moses, God is God." Didn't it? Was it Moses? I mean, Pharaoh? One of those wicked fellows said, "His God is God." Well, that's not salvation. Salvation is to say, "God is my God, my King." Verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. We looked Sunday at the blessings or beatitudes of God, didn't we? The Lord said, "Blessed are the poor. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure. Blessed, blessed, blessed. David says, blessed. Who are the blessed of God? That is, those who have found great favor with God, those who have been favored by God, or those that dwell in thy house. Dwell. They live there. They live there. Dwell in thy house. The Lord said, I go to... He said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. And the Holy Spirit has prepared a place here, an oasis in the wilderness, a dwelling place, God's house. That is the church. I love thy kingdom, God, the house of thine abode, the church thy blessed Redeemer saved with His own precious blood. Ah, my blessed are they that dwell there. It's not a part-time thing. It's not a one-time. It's a living. It's life. The worship of God is life. It's not religion. It's life. Huh? Not going to church. Going to meet God. That's what God's people do. They don't go to church. They go to meet God. And God's people. And you know, only God, listen to this statement. Religion can satisfy the religious, and only God can satisfy a God lover. And therefore, David cries out. He said, I cry out. Blessed are they that dwell. He said, they will be still. Praising that. The word Selah means stop. And think about it. We were reminded, I was reminded back in the study, how this generation talks too fast and too much. Fools are known by a multitude of words. There must be quite a few fools today. This is the wordiest generation in the history of the planet. Everybody's got something to say about everything. And a lot to say. And they never quit talking. Selah means just stop and shut up. And think about what you just read. Pause. Pause. Selah is breath. Take a breath. Selah. Now he just said, blessed. How supremely blessed. Blessed of God. Truly happy are they that dwell in God's house. The wicked think they're happy. They're on the outside. They're not. But those that dwell, I mean really dwell, in God's house, they found a dwelling place, a place to just live. That they could, like Peter said, let's just pitch three tents right here. Lord, I don't want to leave. He says, they will be still. Praising God. This means two things. True praise is solemn praise. Be still and know that I'm God. That's why I say all this religion today, there's not much to it. Everybody's too busy jumping and shouting. You can't hear the message in that mess. Can't hear God's word amidst all that music. Be still and know that I'm God. Just stop and listen and think about what's been said. Be still. It's solemn. It has something to do with a solemnity. Has something to do with quiet confidence. You ever heard of scripture like that? In returning and rest, there's quiet confidence. There's safety. Be still and know I'm God. And it also means those who find a dwelling place in God's house, they'll be there from now on. They'll be still praising it, no matter what, no matter what happens, no matter what trauma or trial or trouble or tribulation they go through, no matter what happens in the world, though the world is turned upside down, where are you going to find God's people? In their dwelling. They'll be still praising God. Blessed, verse 5, is the man whose strength is in thee. Blessed, how blessed is the man or the woman whose strength is in God. Psalm 27:1 says this. You know these psalms well. The Lord is my strength, the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I really don't see how people get by in this world who don't know the Lord. You know? I really don't. I don't see how they could listen to the news and not pack up their families and leave and go up in the mountains to live for fear. You know what I'm saying? Huh? But you read scriptures like this from our God that says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. Don't be afraid of a terrorist. Oh no, when's the next terrorist going to strike? We need to be more afraid of the terrible Lord. Scriptures calls Him the terrible Lord. There's absolutely nothing that happens that God Almighty does not purpose and ordain. Do you believe that? That's where your strength is. Now that's either so or there is no God. Right? It's either so, God reigns, that He hath made all things for Himself. Is that Psalm 16:4? Even the wicked for the day of evil. God hath made it all, but the devil does his bidding. Now you know what the world says, and I don't care. Neither should you. But this is for your strength. This God is our God, my God, and that's my strength to go on. My strength. Isn't it yours? I'll not be afraid for the terror, for the arrows that flieth by day, somebody getting shot every day, the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Oh, what if I get this? What if I get that? You will not get it unless God ordains it. God is my strength. David says, whose strength, blessed are the people whose strength is in thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Read on. In whose heart, here it is again. In whose heart are the ways of those that dwell in God's house. The ways. As I said, there are the issues of life. Well, I didn't say that. God said it. I just repeat it. Out of the heart are the issues of life. If God's ways are in the heart, my. Out of the heart are the issues of life. The wants, the needs. The heart is the issue, or where the issues are. Wants come from the heart. Needs come from the heart. Love is truly in the heart. Longing, that is, desires are in the heart. Happiness, true happiness, is in the heart. Joy is found in the heart. Peace is found in the heart. Contentment is found in the heart. Assurance is in the heart. All this comes in the heart. Well, where is all of that going to be found? Where God is and where God dwells. That's where the heart will be established. It's a good thing that the heart be established with what? Grace. Grace. God's grace. God who giveth all things freely. Blessed is the man in whose heart are these ways, the ways of God. Read on, verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. You know, this is kind of a mysterious thing, this valley of Baca. The rain filleth the pools, is it? Most feel like this valley of Baca was a kind of a barren place, a dry, parched land, where they had to dig pools. They had to dig, as it were, cisterns to catch rainwater whenever they could get it. Get what they could. Valley of Baca. And it says, blessed is the man are those who pass through. We're just passing through. This is what God's people are. They're sojourners, true sojourners. What about you? Do you look for a city whose builder and maker is God? Do you look for a better country? I mean, really. That's where the heart, you know, reveals that. But passing through this valley of Baca, that is this dry and parched wilderness, you find a well here. And what well might that be? Well, there's a few folks in Scripture that found a well. There's a woman. Well, you go all the way through the Old Testament, can't you? And read of wells. But in the New Testament, it says our Lord came. And he must needs pass through Samaria. And he got there, and it says now Jacob's well was there. That was a dry and parched place. And there was a woman came to that well. And lo and behold, she not only found the well, but she found the water. The true well was sitting on the well. The Lord, the water of life. And passing through this valley of Baca, this dry and parched land, God's people have found a well, Jacob's well. And the rain just fell at the pool. There shall be showers of blessing. Where are they? Of God's people. That's where the blessings will be found. If you want to be blessed by God, you be where God blesses His people, where the rain filleth the pool. And they go from strength to strength, verse 7. They go from strength to strength, God's people, daily, that is, feeding. And where do you find your strength? Well, in the company. You notice that there in the margin, do you have that in your margin? Go from company to company. Sheep need one another. They really do. Their principal and primary need is to have a good shepherd, isn't it? If a sheep has got a good shepherd, he's got it made. And if he's a real good shepherd, he'll have a lot of sheep. He can take care of a lot of sheep. And the more sheep, and the happier the sheep, and the greener the pastures, and the stiller the water, and the wiser the shepherd, and all of that, the bigger the flock, and the happier, the fatter, the fleecier, is that a word? The fuller, the warmer, the more content are the sheep, according to who the shepherd is. And they, all those sheep, just hug, as old Maurice liked to say, they just hug up to one another. And they find warmth. They find strength. Company to company. Strengthen one another. Through God, their strength. Christ, their strength. They go from strength to strength. You not find strength when you come here to go on tomorrow. Doesn't the world weaken you? Doesn't it seem to weaken your faith? And do you not find strength when you come here? A little meat, like Elijah found, to go in the strength thereof. Huh? And you know something? You can get all the meat you want, really. Just open your mouth. He'll fill it. And get a lot. You don't have to go away with a little bit of meat. Depending on how hungry you are. Christ said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Who needs strength? The weak. They can find strength in God's house here in the gospel of Christ, their strength. Every one of them, look at this, verse 7. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Now, you're going to like this. Look with me if I can find it. I didn't write it down. I think it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I hope I can find it. Let's see. Oh, it's 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, it says there that every one of them in Zion, every one of God's people, appeareth before God. Every one of them. Christ said, "Lo, here they are, I and the children, which thou hast given me. God's people, every one of them, where you'll find them is in God's house. If at all possible, unless they're providentially hindered, you'll find them in God's house. Why? Because they're appearing before God. They come to appear before God. They come to present themselves. Isn't that what the sons of God did that back in Job 1? They came to present themselves to God. Here we are, Lord. Speak. Here we are, Lord. We come to worship You. Here we are, Lord. We come to hear from You. Here we are, Lord. Your children are here. We come to receive from Thy hand. Here we are, Lord. Instruct us. Here we are, Lord. Every one of them. That's where you'll find them, dwelling there, appearing before God. But I thought of this. This scripture came to mind. I was going to save it for a good message, but not make it. Look at this. Look at this. This is when the Lord returns. When the Lord returns to this. Rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. In other words, when Christ comes to this earth, everybody's coming with Him to get God's peace. Now think about this now. And this is fitting what Christ said, I'll never leave you. So He's not. He said, I'm going to leave you in heaven. You're coming with me. Every one of them, the sky, says every eye shall behold Him. And every single person will be with Him to receive the saints that are still on earth together. We'll all rise together and meet Him in that joyous reunion. God's going to bring them with Him. I don't know if that hits you like it hit me, but He's going to bring them with Him. You know, it's like when you're going somewhere, you really... Somebody's going somewhere to see somebody, and if you love that person, can I go with you? Sure you can. Can we go? Daddy, can we go? Come on, y'all coming. With everybody's coming. No, leave no child behind. He's the only one that can truly say that. They're coming with it. Every one of them are going to appear with Him. That's a glorious thought. Isn't it? Every one. There's the Lord. Blessed be His name. And look. Oh, Lord God of hosts, verse 8, hear my prayer. Hear my prayer. Pray without ceasing. Call upon the God of Jacob. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Stop and think about that. He delights to answer prayer, but James said, we have not because we ask not. What's it mean to ask? It means to pray without ceasing. It means to ask importunately. When our Lord uttered that solemn, one of the most solemn verses in all of God's Word that I can think of, if you'd ask me what the most solemn verse of Scripture in all of God's Word is, I would say this. Which when Christ said, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? Now, you've considered that with me before. But think about it, people, in light of all the religion all over this planet, all the professing believers, and yet Christ says, will He even find faith? It'll be seem to be so scarce. Well, why did He say that? What preceded that to make Him say that? The importunate widow. It's the woman who kept calling on the unjust judge. It's the woman, He said, do you not hear what the unjust judge saith? And shall not God avenge His very elect, though He bear long with them? Yeah, I say He will avenge them speedily. That is, those who are calling. And this is why Paul keeps saying, pray without ceasing. Because you don't, you know, you got years, days, years. You keep on daily, the mundane existence we have, you know, we're out in the world, he said, pray without ceasing, pray without ceasing. We need daily grace. We need grace for the day. We need daily sustenance. We're going to have to go in the strength that God gives us. We can't go in our own strength. We'll fall away. This church will fall tomorrow. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Oh, Lord God, hear my prayer. Let everyone in this room say that. Let every professing believer in this room tonight, young and old alike, say, Lord God, hear my prayer. O Lord God of hosts, give ear, O God of Jacob. I'm a Jacob. And you said you were the God of Jacob. And the sons of Jacob won't be consumed, Lord. It's of your mercies that I'm not consumed. I'm going to be consumed. Who's he that overcometh? Even faith. Lord, hear my prayer. Let every person in here pray for themselves. The preacher can't pray for you. Nobody can pray for us. We can, you understand. But we need to pray personally. It's a personal thing. Think about that. Behold, O God, our shield. Our shield. What keeps us from harm's way? What is our protection from the arrow that flieth by day and terror by night and the pestilence? What is our protection? Huh? Our God who shields us, He's hedged us about. The same can be said of every person in here. Satan can say the same thing he said of Job. You've hedged him about. I can't touch him. That's right. Aren't you glad? God is our shield. God is our refuge. Our shield. Look at this. Look upon the face of thine anointed. Why does God shield us? Why does God protect us? Why should He? David says, Lord, whatever you do, look on Christ. Don't look on me. Look on Christ. That's what David's talking about. The reason I love John Gill so much, because he's going to get to Christ in the passage. He said this is David to asking the Lord God to look upon Christ, the anointed. That's what the anointed means. It means Christ. We've seen that before. It means the Messiah, the anointed one. He says, look upon the face of thine anointed. That ought to be a capital A. Look upon Christ. David's saying, Lord, just as you looked on the blood on the doorpost wherein were of the houses wherein were the children of Israel, and you passed by them, Lord, look upon the blood on the mercy seat, the blood of your Son, the blood of your Christ, who is yet to come for David. And David believed Christ, didn't he? Look upon Him. Look upon the face and accept me in the blood. Would you please don't look upon me and my sin. Look upon Him, my righteousness. And look at this, verse 10. Can you say this? A day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Do you think that sentence was cut off? That's by design, folks. 1,000 what? Anything. 1,000 of anything. One day, if God will bless it in His court, God will bless us to worship Him, to see Christ. If God will bless us to hear from Him and to truly worship from the heart, in spirit and in truth, one day, better than 1,000 of anything else. Truly, people, truly, if God will bless us, it does not get any better than this. On the top side of God's planet, truly. And David had it all, didn't it? David had it all. David, who was now in exile, who once lived in a palace and had all the riches that the world could offer, he had it all. Was exiled from God's house. He didn't miss his palace so much as God's house. And he said, I just one day, just give me one more day to hear that
high priests read your law and to smell that sweet savor and to rub shoulders with God's people and to watch him go into that holy place with that sacrifice. Just give me one more day. It's better than 1,000
of anything I can think of. And he went on to say, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents, the lavish places of wickedness. Now, that's either so or it's not. I mean, that's from the heart or it's not. David, from the heart, said that. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I would choose rather to sit at the threshold, the margin said. I'd just sit on the floor if I had to, than to dwell in the lavish tents of wickedness. Oh, my. The Lord God, now I've got to quit. He says, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord God is a sun and shield. And he mentions these two things that we need. The sun is a source of everything. Life as we know it comes from the sun. S-U-N. If the sun, the very second the sun ceases, all life ceases. I mean, immediately. Whenever the sun quits shining or burning, all life ends immediately. David said in Psalm 19, was it the heavens declare his glory, the sun, the moon, which is ordained? That sun up there, that bright burning ball of hydrogen that just stays in its place and burns millions and millions of degrees hot, and yet here we are millions of miles away. We feel the heat of it, and it sustains life. Every single form of life on this planet is sustained by this big burning ball in the sky. A fool has said, no God. I mean, an absolute, utter fool. And everything is sustained by that sun, and yet God says, don't you see the significance? Don't you see the spiritual meaning behind that? Don't you see that there's a greater sun than this? Don't you see that he even called the life by the same name, the Son of Righteousness, who's arisen with healing in his wing? Don't you see? The world doesn't see the sun. I mean, S-O-N. Who is life? That John and all the disciples said, we did. We held him. We beheld him. We touched him. We handled him. We heard him. We saw him. Life. Source of life. Source of life. Sun and a shield. Source of all life, sustenance, and shield. God's our shield. I was going to have you turn. Jot this down, okay? You're not going to turn to it. I've lost you now. But I want you to jot this down, okay? I want everybody to look at it. You'll get a blessing. Isaiah 60. You got a pencil? If not, I hope you got a good memory. You'll miss a blessing if you don't. Isaiah 60. Just read the whole chapter. Just read it. It talks about the sun and the shield. It talks about Christ. Sun and the shield. He says, read on, the Lord will give grace and glory. What do we need? Grace. Oh my, do we need grace? What's that? When you just name something, we need. We're beggars, and that's what we talked about Sunday morning. Blessed are the poor. That is, those who have nothing, can do nothing, know nothing, are nothing, will never be able to do anything unless God gives it. Man can receive nothing except to be given. Grace. The Lord will give grace. To who? And then ask him. He delights to show grace. He gives more grace. He does not brave for the grace we've wasted. We need grace. We're going to need grace tomorrow. He gives it. The Lord will give grace. He will. Don't you love those words? He will give grace. And glory. Glory. Do you not long to see God's glory again? I mean, when we were young believers and first heard the gospel, we thought, I'm ready to die. I mean, there were so many times we heard the gospel that we thought, I've just been glorified. I feel like I've been on the Mount of Transfiguration. Well, we long for that glory over and over again. Behold the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will. He'll give glory. Like Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. He will. He asked for it. He will. And no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Did you read that correctly? He sure did. What does that mean? It means exactly what it says. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. What will you withhold from your children who are obedient to you? Sky's the limit. As much as within your power to give them. Everything's within God's power. No good thing. Well, certainly, God will not withhold mercy, grace, pardon. Will not withhold from you a home, a house to live in, family, provisions for that family, job, take care of it. God will certainly not withhold from you happiness, peace, joy, companionship, on and on it goes. Then it walk uprightly. What is it to walk uprightly? Number one is to walk by faith in Christ. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's to walk by faith in Christ. It's not just morality. It's to walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith. Looking to Christ. Looking to Christ in all things. And it's to walk uprightly. Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk. Not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We follow His leading. That's just the fact. God's children are not disobedient children. They once were. They were children of wrath, even as others. Disobedience, but not anymore. They long to do His will. David said, order my feet in Thy word, my steps in Thy word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. We walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, God of so many people, You're my God. O Lord of hosts, how blessed, how truly favored and happy is the man, the woman, the young person that trusteth in Thee, that loves, leans upon, looks to, and longs for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand with me. Call upon Him, David. Call upon Thee, David. We need Thy grace and glory.